What happens at the judgment? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike, and Pete, thanks for coming in again. I appreciate it a lot. You've been traveling back and forth between Florida and California. Don't you go to sleep on me.
I'm not that tired. But
man, I appreciate the commitment that you would come in and do this, because I know what that can do to you if you're doing that. Pete Alwinson, by the way, is my pastor, and he comes in graciously on Friday. We do that for a number of reasons. He has such good stuff to say, but we want to make a statement at Key Life that we are a part of the church, and we don't just say that. Pete's on our board. He's one of the people who keep this ministry accountable, and I want to make a statement by having Pete come in each Friday, and occasionally when I'm on vacation or stuff, he'll teach, and you guys get the benefit of that, too. We'd love to get your questions, by the way. Send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. And by the way, check out our website, www.keylife.org. We're adding new stuff to that all the time, and I think you're going to like it. And whenever you ask a question, don't call one in. That's to make a contribution, to become a part of the Key Life Tate family, to subscribe to the magazine all free, to get a catalog, or get a booklet free. But you have to write out the question, and you always get a response from me or a staff member on the broadcast or in the magazine. All right, Pete, lead us in prayer, and then we'll turn to these questions.
All right. Father, we bow today in your presence, and Lord, we know that you are holy and righteous and just. We know that you are the judge, and we bow before you, and we recognize that you create the standards of what is right and wrong, and they don't exist outside of you. Father, it is your righteousness that we have seen in this world, and it has shown us that we were sinners. We have seen also your grace and how you have taken people who opposed you and hated you and did everything to get away from your authority and from worshiping you, and you've loved them and you've cared for them and that you've made them your children. And Lord, as your children, we come to you today and we worship you. We look forward to doing that on Sunday. Father, we look forward to meeting with all the rest of your people around us and giving honor and praise to you. We need that time because we need to remember who you are and who we are. We're transformed by that time. Be with our leaders and those who will stand before us and preach and teach and open the Word. We pray, Father, that you would enable them to speak what you have given them. Help them not to be afraid to say hard things, but help them to say it kindly and with grace and reflect you adequately. So we pray for them. And now we ask, as we look at these messages and these questions, Lord, that you would give us wisdom as we try to determine truth for our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This is from your home state, California. Right. What happens at the judgment? The thought of all my sins being reviewed in front of the whole world is scary.
Do you think that's going to happen, that all of your sins are going to be reviewed?
I don't know. But, that used to really bother me a lot until I became a pastor and started listening to people confess to me. And I decided, I'm bad, but they're as bad as I am.
That's
so
right.
Nobody's going to be embarrassed. I just don't think it's going to matter. And I don't think you ought to. If it makes you uncomfortable, it won't happen because you'll be home then.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to, except in the context of maybe God's grace being lifted up, mm-hmm. His glory being praised. And, there are a lot of sins that I'm not going to tell people about in this life because I need this job. I'm going to say I'm a sinner, but I've got a friend at the seminary, Richard Pratt.
Yeah.
Who says you got to wait till the statute of limitations has run out before you start confessing. And that's generally about 7 years. But the older I get, the more I realize that we're really, when the Bible says we're sinners, we really are. I think you would be quite surprised at all the people that you think are going to be judging you if this happens.
Yeah.
They're not going to be judging you.
No.
They've got their own stuff.
Absolutely. It was like the young businessman I was talking to on the airplane, and he said, you know, every time I step on a plane, I figure this is it. God's going to get me. I say, why? And he said, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. He said, but you don't know what I think. I said, you're a man. I know what you think.
Yeah, right.
And it's kind of like if I've thought it or done it, somebody else has.
Yeah.
You know, there's some pretty evil things out there, but you're right. You know, the John 5, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and now has come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. As for the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. And that authority, I mean, whatever happens at the judgment is going to be okay because he's got the authority. He's got the right.
Absolutely. And it's not going to be condemning, and you're not going to be embarrassed.
That's,
you know,
right.
People make heaven like you're going to have to check in with a boss, and boy, are you going to be sorry. And I think, I don't want to do that. That's not heaven.
Yeah.
And so we're not exactly sure. Although that would seem to indicate that maybe that isn't going to happen. But, friend in California, don't put this on the top of the list of the things that ought to worry you, because it's not anything that ought to worry you at all.
Absolutely. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ
right.
Jesus. So,
this is an email. It says, you write and talk so often about our need to trust God and rest in his love and not be bound by performance-based acceptance. You know, that's hard to do. You can know it in your head, but your heart just will not or cannot take hold of it very often for very long. So what do you do in the meanwhile?
That we've all experienced that.
Oh, struggle with it all the time.
You know, three steps forward, two steps backwards. And
yeah.
I think sometimes you work on it, you let the truth of the Word of God sink into your heart and mind, and you feel great, and you feel that release and that freedom, and then you go into another situation, and you fall right back into the performance thing.
It's the struggle of the Christian. And I'll tell you something. You can either believe the gospel and have it preached to you by your friends, as Martin Luther said, so you can be encouraged, or you can become a Pharisee.
Yeah.
And I believe that the sign of the fall is we move in that direction of moralism and Pharisaism, and that was the one thing that made Jesus angry.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think he's going to be angry at us because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness. But, you know, you, a friend, you've just described what everybody who's honest has to deal with.
Yeah.
I constantly have to do that. You know, people say, you're so free in the pulpit. Well, but the first thing I do when I get in the car is say, Anna, how did I do?
Yeah.
Did I embarrass you, or did I embarrass God, or did I say anything that was inappropriate? You know, and I think, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be a grace teacher. That's covered. I don't have to perform anymore to do this. So if I, a spiritual giant,
a doctor of grace,
should have a problem with that. No, we all do. All of us do.
And that's why I think some people have criticized your ministry because they said, that's all you talk about, you know? Well, that's what God's called you to do,
really,
because
is.
A lot of other people are talking the other way, and we need that constant reaffirmation.
So true. And you know, I've found that as you go through the Bible, it's always examined through the eyes of grace.
Mm-hmm.
If you start coming at it through religious eyes, it ends up being condemning. But once you got the grace as the base, then the Bible begins to open up like a flower, and you begin to see what God was doing all along. So,
that's right.
Yeah, I have a guy in Lexington, dear friend, he said, you know, you only have one horse to ride, but you ride it pretty good. let me see. You know, this is from Tennessee, but it has to do with what we were talking about last week. Is it possible for a Christian to believe in God but not take the Bible literally?
Sure. But to what extent?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Well, also, what do you mean by taking the Bible literally?
Yeah.
Some of the Bible is not meant to be taken literally.
That's right. Maybe they're saying, you know, the Bible, you don't believe in a literal heaven or hell. Well, no, I have problems with that.
Yeah, I am too. I'm talking about places in the Bible that are meant to be allegory or meant to be metaphor or poetry, which isn't history. You have to let the Bible tell you which is which. But I think, yeah, I think if you can believe in God, I think you can believe be a Christian and not believe in the authority of Scripture or that it be inerrant at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But I think as God's Spirit begins to work on you, the Bible becomes so precious.
Right. I think that's the key. I think there will be a progressive hunger for the Word and understanding of it.
This is from New York. What is appropriate response for when one is falsely accused by another Christian?
Slap them in Jesus' name.
This is for your own good. No, but I think there are. We sometimes forget. I think sometimes you just accept it, and you say if they knew the truth, they'd say a lot more.
Mm. Yeah.
But I think there is, because this kind of thing can be so divisive in the church. Mm-hmm. I think there are ways to deal with this within the context of believers of a congregation of a church that can be quite helpful.
Yeah. Yes, it can. I think we need to be back lovingly assertive back to them and say, hey, what's your evidence? And
yeah.
Make them back it up.
And to go and say, you know, that's not true, and I'm hurt that you said it. If you would tell me who told you that, I would be glad to sit down and talk to them.
And that's really the problem most of the time. We will not go right to the person.
Well, we're not very, you know, one of the problems in the church is that we're not very confrontational with the truth.
That's true.
Now, if you're falsely accused by a pagan, then I would say, well, occasionally you maybe ought to respond, but you got to remember that that you ought to beware if people are always saying good things about you. Mm-hmm. And so I would kind of, but within the church, not for your sake, it's not important you be right or you defend yourself or that you have people have a high opinion of you, but for the sake of the church,
yeah,
it's important that things be true. Sometimes those things need to become before the leadership of the church.
That's right, and some people are really into spreading rumors and lies just to get in the center of attention. There's all kinds. This is a big subject. Fortunately, I don't think we have in our church. I don't think that's a big, big problem. But I think we do. Like Proverbs says, you know, gossip is like a morsel, tiny morsel that goes deep into your body.
Oh yeah.
We just love to hear.
And I do too. You know, we're talking about a denominational matter, and I'll say, look, I know that I want to hear the dirt.
Yeah.
And I'll repent later, but tell me the dirt anyway.
Yeah.
And that is so wrong.
I got
so wrong with
to tell you.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Well, we're out of time again. Will you do this again next week, Paul?
I'll be here.
Man, I appreciate it, especially after the stuff in California that you would do this. Guys, whenever your writer calls, be sure and give us the call letters of this great station. A lot of people make this broadcast possible. We like to know who they are. And before I go, I must say Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.